Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading Fear, the Echo, and the Answer. This is from a collection of stories called 54 Sleepless Nights, written by Tobias Wade. Links to the book and the ebook will be in the description of this episode if you'd like to support the author and read even more of his stories. Thank you for listening. Let's get started. When I was a kid, there was a canyon behind my house. My friends and I liked to sneak off to. We weren't supposed to play by it, so of course that automatically made it the coolest place in the world to be. There were four of us who went there as often as we could get away, although the oldest of us never let the others luck down or get too close to the edge. Mostly we'd just throw rocks and stuff into it, or take turns shouting rude words and laughing at the reverberating echo. When I spoke about these memories with my friends years later, they only remembered the games we played and the good times we had. No one else but me remembers how the responding echo never quite matched the sounds we made. They dismissed it as my imagination and teased me about my childhood fantasy. I laughed along with them and didn't mention it again. I know I wasn't making it up though, because I've been back to that canyon by myself many times since then, and I know what I heard. The delay was always too long for starters. Echoes are just sound waves bouncing off the rock and coming back, and I know how fast the speed of sound is. It always takes this echo a few seconds, and even then the voice doesn't sound the same as the original. Even if it mimics our words, the pitch is all high and strained, and it sounds the same no matter who makes the first call. If that was all there was, then I might have forgotten about it too. But there were also times when only a part of the sound would come back, and I don't know how an echo could ever explain that. Sometimes, when I'm there alone, I'll make a game out of treating the canyon like a magic eight ball, and calling down questions, and listening for the answer as though it was some kind of prophecy. "Should I go to school tomorrow?" I called once, and the only part that came back was, "Go to school. Go to school." "Should I ask her to the dance?" I tried another time. "Ask her. Ask her," the canyon replied. The game stopped being fun around the time I started high school. I couldn't talk about it with my friends knowing how silly they thought it was, and my parents still didn't like me hanging out there. I got distracted with the daily ordeals and dramas of school life, and years went by without me even thinking about the place. It wasn't until my mom got sick and went to the hospital that I found myself climbing over the familiar rocks again one evening, trying to lose myself and forgetting how much I worried about her. "Is mom going to get better?" I called. I put a particular emphasis on last words and waited the few seconds it took for the reply to come. I thought that I'd hear, "get better, get better," and that would be like a prophecy that would give me something to believe in. I guess I must have been embarrassed to shout as loudly as I had as a kid though, because even straining my ears I couldn't hear so much as a whisper back. Feeling foolish but more determined than ever, I filled my lungs and yelled the question again as loudly as I could. "No." A single word. That same strained voice. It even came back immediately after I called without the usual delay. "Is she going to die?" I tried again. A few seconds and then, "to die, to die," echoing the few words just as it always had before. I shivered even though the sun hadn't gone down yet, unable to comprehend what I was hearing. "You're lying! Everyone says she's going to be fine!" I shouted as loud as I could, not caring who else could hear. "You're lying," came the echo. "To yourself." I was angry now. I thought there must have been someone down there who was calling back to me. I let myself get closer to the edge than I ever had before, peering right over the steep stony walls to try and spot who might be answering. It was getting dark and I couldn't see anyone, but I did spot a wandering path along the slope that looked like I could climb down. I knew if I went home now, then those words would be the prophecy of what was to come, filling my head and tormenting me more than I already was. I resolved to climb down the slope and find the person taunting me, but the way was steeper than it looked at first. I had to go slow, and I was only about halfway down when it had grown completely dark. I threw out a few taunts and jabs on the way down, telling them to show themselves, but I didn't hear any reply. I could tell it wasn't safe, but I was so angry that I didn't care. And so the last of the daylight faded. I lost my footing, started to slide. I tried grabbing at some bushes to stop my fall, but they were sharp and thorny, and I reflexively let go as they ripped my hands. Then I was tumbling freely through the open air, flailing with wild panic before curling into a ball and trying to roll to my landing. I still hit hard enough to take my breath away, lodging into a tight crevice in the rock. I cursed and swore as I tried to pull myself out, but my foot was stuck deep in the stone and my ankle hurt whenever I tried to yank it. "God damn it," I said. "God damn him." I froze as the echo replied instantly nearby. The sound encompassed me in the darkness, and I couldn't tell where it was coming from. All my anger and confidence disappeared the moment I slipped, and I was starting to feel really afraid now. Even if there was someone down here, why did that make me think it was safe? There could be some crazy person living here. Who else would be shouting taunts at a kid asking about his sick mother? "You're just an echo," I said, making sure to whisper it, quietly enough that no echo could possibly reply. "Just an echo." That thin, strained voice, so close I could almost feel the breath of it on my neck. And then it began to giggle, a wet gurgling sound like someone laughing while drinking water. I reached for my phone to get a light, but it must have fallen out of my pocket when I fell. I struggled again to get my ankle unstuck, but it must have either been broken or sprained because the smallest movement sent a shockwave throughout my body. The moon was just beginning to rise over the lip of the canyon, though, and through the feeble light, I saw a shadow rising from the stones around me. At first, it seemed like the shape of a man standing up, but it continued to raise itself until it was much taller than any man. There weren't any clear arms and legs either, but instead a rippling waveform along its perimeter as it moved sluggishly over the stones towards me. I wanted to scream, but I was too terrified at the screaming thought that might descend on me. I held my breath as it approached, and its deathly quiet soon had me convinced that it could only make a sound when I did. It wasn't much, but it was the only control I had in the situation. I stubbornly stared the shadow down as it loomed over me. The form rippled this way and that, circling me, seeming to dare me to speak to it or call for help. The longer I resisted, the smaller it seemed to become, though, until gradually the shadow melted back into the stones. I slowly worked off the shoe of my trapped foot, and then was able to slip away. I crawled out on my hands and knees and started working my way slowly, tortuously, back up the stony slope. I made most of the way to the top before accidentally putting too much pressure on my wounded ankle and letting out an involuntary yelp. Immediately, the strained yelp was echoed back at me, so fast and so much more powerful than my own sound had been that I know the thing must have been waiting for me to make a sound all this time. The screech echoed upon itself and amplified in the canyon, mounting to a terrifying crescendo before it gradually faded away. I didn't look back or make another sound once all the way home. Only then did I get the news that my mother's passing and allow myself to cry. I've never gone back down into the canyon, but sometimes I'll still go to the edge and call out a question, knowing it's there and it's listening. I don't know what would have happened to me if I made a sound while I was in the canyon, but I know it told me the truth when everyone else lied to me. Even if my friends make fun of me for writing this, even if no one believes me, then I'll know I'm telling the truth too. And that's all that matters in the end. That's the end of the story. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, like the video, and if you end up buying yourself a copy of the ebook or the book itself, do let me know, because, I mean, I would like to say thank you too. And I know it helps them out, for our, the author, I mean. And I appreciate you for listening. When you have millions of other choices in this world, thank you for making this one. If you'd like to support the channel, you can do so just by liking the video or, wherever else you are. I don't know what your options are, but just interacting, that's great. If you'd like to join the Discord, there is that too. Come hang out with us. But hey, I just appreciate you for listening. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you in the next one.